I'm Kim Carson. I'm so happy you found my podcast, Conversations with Kim. Whether I'm having a conversation with a celebrity, an author, history maker, record breaker, or the average everyday person, we all have a story to tell. And maybe that story just might change another person's life. We can learn so much from each other. Let us discover some of life's most valuable lessons with today's guest on Conversations with Kim. Today, my conversation is with the Amazing Kreskin. I remember watching the Amazing Kreskin when I was a little girl, and you've been performing now for over 6 decades. Thank you so much for talking to me here today.
Yeah, you know, the rumors are, and I'm afraid that some of the listeners are going to believe that I was born in the 1880s, you know, 1875, 1880. But no, I've been performing since I was in my teens. And in fact, the airline industry last year finally estimated that I've flown a little over 3 million miles. So I'm only home 4 days a month. People talk about work ethics and so forth, and fine time, having time off is important as well, but not last year. We haven't counted them yet, but 2 years ago, if you counted all the radio, television, and concert appearances I did in 1 year, I did 364 appearances around the world. So I'm kind of busy.
It's an amazing thing. and you
now you got the first. Oh, now you're using my first name in a very casual way. Someone asked me in an interview today, is it true, Kreskin, your first name is the? Well, the police out there titled the Amazing Kreskin. It's funny because I've shown it was a mistake and that we had to redo. We had to get new cards, but I showed one of my credit cards a few years ago on TV, and it has T.A. Kreskin, which people think maybe it's Thomas Alvin, but it's the Amazing Kreskin. That was legally on the credit card.
Oh, man, I love it. I love it. You look great. What's your secret? What is your secret? You're sharp as a tack, and you look great.
Well, I know you've done much writing that's inspirational.
Yeah.
And in fact, it fascinates me that you did a series of cards entitled "The Church Signs Series." That's an intriguing. That's very, very intriguing.
Well, my dad started taking pictures when we go on vacation. He would have a camera that took film, you know, so it would be slides.
Sure,
and I just recently got a converter for the slides, and I see he's taking pictures of church signs. And I thought, well, I'm going to continue the tradition, you know.
I run a half an hour every night. I jog a half an hour, and usually at 2 in the morning, 1 or 2 in the morning. But I make it a point, and college students find this interesting, because I've done over 1,000 university shows in this country and Canada, although my audiences are, you know, in Vegas or they're in concert appearances and, banquet halls and private events. These 2 months are off. So many of them are for private Christmas parties and whatever. Like, let's see, the past 2 years I've been in Spain, Italy, New Zealand, Australia, Japan, Wales, and Netherlands, Canada, and the United States. But when I jog, I don't wear earphones because I think it's a shame that a lot of us have forgotten how to listen to ourselves.
Yeah.
And we're not giving ourselves a chance to reflect because of the use of machinery and tablets and what have you. And you really need to, even with people you're with, you really need to listen to them, because sometimes people talk to you without even saying anything.
Yes.
And when you've got the busyness around you, you're interfering. So sociologists, and I do seminars from time to time, agree that we are losing some form of communication in recent years. There's no question about it. So I need that period of being alone for my own inner thoughts, because a lot of the answers to things come from within us, you know, as you know.
I'm completely with you. Like, I hike, and I don't wear any form of electronics either, because, you know, like, I'm telling you, I think it completely rewires your brain. I think it takes away something that we need to be able to live in balance and properly. You know?
Well, everyone has to learn to stop the world and get off.
Yeah.
And Einstein, when he was in his latter years teaching at Princeton University here in New Jersey, they would tell me he would every day or every other day, take a canoe or a rowboat and row into the middle of the lake and pull the oars in.
Oh,
he wasn't
wow.
paddling the thing. He was sitting and letting the rowboat drift so his mind could just move without interruptions, questions, phone ringing, and anything else. And everybody, there's no excuse. We can all find ways of doing it. We can close the door. And the family will not be worried that they don't hear you from 5 or 10
right.
minutes or so, and that's all you need. By the way, I would like to interview you because you mentioned your interest in photography, poetry, and so forth. But you also share your home with your furry friends, Jack, Walter, Blanca, and Monty.
You got it.
They're your kitties?
They're my kitties. I just lost one 3 weeks ago. Walter has passed on, but yeah, he was the greatest. He was, you know, going to be 17 years old. So he lived a good life.
I've had cats and dogs, but since I travel a great deal and my folks are no longer with us, it's dogs need more
right.
attention
That's
and care. So,
what I think.
And I had four cats for often. I've had cats through the years, but four cats, and now I'm down to two because the others have passed on. But one, Bugsy. He was a big, ferocious, beautiful creature. And when I'd come home from a trip, this cat, this Bugsy, would jump up on the couch and sit in my lap and put his head against me. And every time I kissed him on the back of the neck, he would lick me back. If I walked into the kitchen, he was lying asleep on a chair or the kitchen table, I could kiss him on the neck and he'd open his eyes, lick me, and
yep.
go back to sleep. And the veterinarian said he just thinks he's a dog.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful animal. They are. One thing about animals, they don't betray people.
No.
And I've been quoted many, many times. In fact, even in a German book, you know, Kim, why dogs make better friends than people. The reason they make better friends than people is they wag their tails, not their tongues.
That's great. You know, I've often said that people who say that they hate cats have never taken the time to have a relationship. And
I know men
who
never had cats that somehow they came into their family. But you know, it's nice if you do have a cat, it's nice to have a second one
yes.
so they can keep each other company because it's really nice.
Like them to remember that they're a cat, like to be comfortable yeah. knowing that there's another species in the house like them, you know?
Yeah.
Hey.
So my work has been a joy in my life, but these animals are very, very special to me. And they, you know, they, my one cat I had for years, Miss Kitty, I have pictures of her on my webpage, but Miss Kitty would sleep on my mother's right arm or on my mother's shoulder.
Mm.
And when she passed away, which she passed away in my hands, I was sad. But anyway, I got a call from a person in California that at that time people knew about. Her name was Phyllis Diller. She's a famous
yeah,
comedian.
Yeah.
And she was almost crying on the phone because she knew me and she knew how much these animals meant to me. And when she heard that Miss Kitty passed away, she was calling and sending her sympathies because her favorite cat that she had lost recently had the name Miss Kitty also. So, you know, these animals bring people together, I'll tell you something.
Oh, man, they really do. Today my conversation is with the amazing Kreskin. And, you know, a lot of people call you a psychic, but you've referred to yourself as an entertainer, right?
Well, I use the term mental. So I'll tell you. I'll tell you, Kim, the reason why I'm not knocking psychics. I'm not a fortune teller. I've tried looking into crystal balls, but I get severe headaches. No, but the best way I explain myself is if someone in the audience during my performances, I will point out that someone is thinking of such and such, and they, where am I going to be on February 22nd, and they raise their hand. I'll point, we've never met and all of that. And if they knew where they were going to be, I could tell them if they concentrated. If they didn't know, I'm not looking in the future and telling them because that's not what I do. Last year, a year and a half ago at the Riviera, during one of my performances, and I asked my audience to concentrate on various things that are interesting or significant to them. And I mentioned two names, and this elderly gentleman stood up, and I said, how do you know these people? He said, Kreskin, we're not from here in Las Vegas. We're on vacation. I forget where they live in the United States. He said, but those are our two pet dogs. We love them dearly. I said to him, did you say to your wife, I wonder if Creskin could tell me my Army serial number? And Kim, it's too bad there wasn't a camera there or it wasn't a TV show. He slams his fist on this small little table that people were sitting in the audience, and he says, you know, we didn't even eat supper here. We ate some other casinos not near here. And he said, I said that to my wife when we were eating. I said, who knows your Army number? Well, you can ask any man or woman that's been in the service. They will never forget their Army serial number, but they don't tell family or friends. My uncle's never met because there's no reason to. He says, I don't even think I mentioned it to my wife. Well, he knew his Army number. I asked him to concentrate. I gave him every single digit in his Army serial number, and he was in World War II. So the mind is a fascinating thing, what can be accomplished with it, you know.
Yeah.
And by the way, in all my performances, are you there, Kim?
Yeah.
In all my performances, it's one of the highlights, and college audiences go crazy about this, but this has been written about all over the world. At a certain point, now my regular full concerts, I'm on stage 2 hours and 38 minutes. They're one-man shows, and I'm on, a lot of times my shows are at nightclubs, maybe an hour and a half or an hour and 20 minutes, or banquets, an hour. But anyway, in my longer programs, I gather a committee from the audience of people I've never met. I hand, usually it's five or six people, I hand them my check, my fee for the evening. Now I am escorted from the theater out of the building, or if it's bad weather, into another part of the building where I don't know what's going on. Or when I appeared last year in Toronto at an outdoor fair where we had 1,000 in my audience every day or so forth, they had a trailer on the off the stage outdoors, which I was taken into, and the walls were covered, and I was guarded so I didn't see what was going on. By the way, the 19 days I was in headlining in Toronto, I did 29 shows. But while I'm off stage, the committee hides my check anywhere inside the theater, on someone in the audience or what have you. Comes back to the stage, I'm called back in. I don't ask questions. There's no Q and answers. It's not some guessing game.
Right.
They simply think of what they have to concentrate on what they've done. And it's been a feature all over the world. If I do not find my check, I forfeit it. It goes back to the company that booked me or the organization, and the show's for free. And, Kim, that's a hell of a way to make a living.
Oh, my God. No, you know, and I have, no, okay, so I have this two-part question. So when did you know that you had this special gift and everyone couldn't see and know the things like you? And secondly, since you're not a psychic, would you say that you're tapping into something in your brain that many people have never tapped into before?
But they may have the ability, Kim, but they've never tapped into it. They may have the potential there. It may happen during crises. In any audience, a good-sized audience, I'll say some of you have had, either you or your family's had experiences where they suddenly sensed the loved one was in trouble. And people will raise their hands and say, my mother woke up one morning and knew someone she hadn't seen for a while. She saw something that was disastrous, and they get a call later on. So that's a crisis type experience. But you know, this started, Kim, when I was 9 years old, and in grade school, during show and tell, I started tapping into the thoughts of my audience, and it intrigued my teachers. I had a teacher in fourth and sixth grade, Miss Galloway, who would set aside on Friday's show and tell a period for me to experiment with my classmates. Do you know, I was already performing when I was in junior high school and in high school, getting big money, $5 a show. Those
wow.
were big deals.
Wow. Yeah.
But anyway, you know what? You know, years later, after I'd been known and everything else, and I'd been out of college, I was touring when I was in college, but even after college, I found out years later that my grade school teacher, fourth and sixth grade Miss Galloway, I never was told this, quietly when I left grade school, wrote letters to my teachers all through high school saying, I do not understand what he does, but you must support him because it's a gift. Isn't that something?
What a gift. What a beautiful gift for her to recognize that in you and feed it.
It is an incredible gift. It is those letters mean more than all the money that could be thrown on the table. I mean, that she felt that close. But anyway, people ask, you know, when my check is hidden by my audience, have I ever failed? I failed 9 times. The most famous failure was in New Zealand. I love the country. I've toured there a number of times. But the first time I was there, the first time, a few weeks I was there, one of the early nights I failed. And the next day there was a massive press conference outside the theater, not because I failed, but because the night before when I failed, I lost, Tim, in one night, $51,000. That's the amount of money I lost.
Wow.
The money went to a crippled children's, someone went to a crippled children's hospital in New Zealand, and they named a wing after me. And I always visit when I go there, and I always say to them, boy, the night I lost the money, I could have used the hospital because I was a badge. But listen to what's happened through the years when it's been hidden. And college students, when I come back year after year, like 18 years at Rutgers and at some of the other universities, that some of the ingenuity, University of Illinois, I come back into this, it was in a gymnasium, and you can hear a pin drop. It's about 8,000 people. It was a family weekend, and they didn't check. And I walked to the audience. I walk up to a man, an elderly man. I asked him to stand. I said, sir, I've never asked anybody to do this. Would you open your mouth? Well, I was very embarrassed. There's no check. I felt very stupid. I felt very embarrassed. I said, please, I'm sorry, sir. So I walked away from him. About 20 feet away, it was very crowded, and people were sitting on bleachers and in the tarp on folding chairs, so it was crowded. And when I got 20 feet away, something made me come back. I believe it was the committee who hit it that was concentrating.
Yeah.
They weren't talking to me, but something was telling me I must come back. I came back to the man. I had him stand. I said, sir, I want to tell you something. If what I say embarrasses you, you sit down and all of you hear me. I've lost my fee because I don't do this to embarrass people. I said to him, I asked you again, would you open your mouth? He did. I said, sir, does this have to do with the roof of your mouth? Kim, I will never forget this as long as I live. He reached in his mouth, took out his upper plate, and handed me my check.
Oh, my God. Unbelievable.
So when you remember the show, the Lifestyle of the Rich?
Did you initially think, did you think that you were psychic in the beginning?
No. I felt I had, something was happening within me. Something was changing within me. I had been given a comic book when I was 5 years old, and I didn't read them, but my mother would read to me the comics, and it was called Mandrake the Magician, but he wasn't a magician. Lee Falk wrote him. He had hypnotic abilities, he had telepathic abilities, and he was solving crime while he traveled the world. And I knew that that was going to be, that was my model, and Kim, day after day, I dreamt and made believe I was him until when I was 9 years old, I started finding hidden objects because of, from a classroom, something happened that caused me to do this. Well, let me tell you the story further because this is one of the inspirational moments of my life. Years later, and Mandrake the Magician was a very famous comic, and Lee Falk also wrote The Phantom, which was another famous comic. Years later, they were saluting him at Sardi's Restaurant, a famous show business restaurant in New York, and there was professors from universities and researchers on the history of comics, and they were honoring him because he wrote two of the famous comics of the 1930s, 40s, 50s, and 60s. They asked me to be there because they knew that his comic had influenced me. Mm. And I came there, and before he started, I shook hands with him and sat off to the side. Now, there he is with all these professors and so forth answering questions. Around 4 o'clock in the afternoon, he stops. He says, I want to pause for a moment. You know who's over here, the amazing Kreskin. I just met him today. He says, I want you to know that since I've written Mandrake in the 1930s, the only human living being to ever come closest to being in true life what Mandrake is Kreskin. Can you imagine how moved I was?
Oh, my gosh. As a little kid hearing that.
I meet professors that were there and say that moment, I couldn't even talk. So, you know, listen, I want to tell you something. We have to be continued. I've got a crazy schedule because of the New Year's, but let's do this. Are you on each every week or
I'm on every day.
Are you? You're kidding me.
No.
Oh my God! Then you can handle the government. If you can handle that, my God, you can handle it. And you still take care of your four friends, don't you?
I do. And you know, Kreskin, before you go, do me a favor. Could you just do you have any social media where people can reach out to you?
Yes. Go on to AmazingKreskin.com. AmazingKreskin.com. There are like 30 half hours of television shows I've done through the years. Also, I wrote a book that just came out a few months ago. You can go on the internet called In Real Time. It's called In Real Time. It is my 20th book, and it's a book about how I see the world is going to be changing. Because, you know, Kim, my audiences, when I'm on the stage, I don't have equipment. I don't have a musical instrument. My equipment is my audience, because there's no boundary between myself and my audience. I'm reading their thoughts. And when you think, I mean, 5.5 different years in Saudi Arabia touring that part of the world. We're now negotiating for my return to Japan and so forth. And then, of course, all the states and Canada news. I tap into how people think. So people, I think, will find my in real time of interest.
But give me real quick social media.
All right. Amazing Kreskin. The social media is AmazingKreskin.com. Happy New Year.
You've been listening to Conversations with Kim. Reach out to me, Kim Carson, via social media. On Instagram and YouTube, Kim Carson Now. I'm also on Facebook and Twitter, Kim Carson. Listen to my radio show middays on WLAV.com. And each Wednesday, I join the Hot Topics chat segment, 9 a.m. Eastern Time on ABC's Take 5 and Company on WZZM13.com. Listen to more episodes at kimcarson.podomatic.com. Until we meet again, thanks for listening to my podcast, Conversations with Kim.